Hello, and welcome to the Outpost Frequencies, brought to you by The Last Movie Outpost, with all cool news, reviews, and everything else that you want to know about movies that's taking place. I'm your host today, not George Lucas, and with me is Drunken Yoda.
Hello, everybody. We're back again with some minor technical difficulties, but I hope you all enjoyed our new introduction for this show.
Yes.
I couldn't hear it, you couldn't hear it, but... I know it was going through because the green lines were bouncing on the audio part.
And yes, and it does look very good and professional. Like we actually know what we're doing. It's quite amazing.
Lies. All lies. Filthy lies.
Righto. So, it's been an interesting movie week this week. We'll talk about some of the news, first of all, that you may have missed on the site. And then we will go on to talk about Star Wars Visions, the new series by Disney Plus. So in the news, let's keep it home, as in my home, first of all, with Netflix has bought all of Roald Dahl's canon work. I don't know how you want to call it, really. His work. Now... those of you who might be familiar with Roald Dahl may not. You probably have seen some of his stuff. For example, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is one of his biggest ones, which some people love the original, and some people are not so keen on the Tim Burton remake. I actually didn't mind both of them myself. But does this now mean...
I hated the Tim Burton one, but go ahead. Okay.
That's fine. That's all right. You know, I completely understand why, but like I say, I was right with them. But does Roald Dahl's work now need to be redone again?
Well, let me ask you: are they doing it like are they buying the rights to the previous stuff, or is that still kind of with the studios that made them, or is this just rights for all future stuff?
I'm assuming it's all future stuff. Is the impression I got from the article?
Okay, so they're going to make original new original. Adaptations for all this stuff. That's the idea.
Again, that's what I got from the article. Yes. I mean, like I say, not many people sort of know of things like, I'm sure James and the Giant Peach was Roald Dahl. I'm actually trying to think now because my brain hasn't caught up with that.
No, it was quite a while. Oh, okay. You got the BFG, Matilda.
See, again, BFG's just recently been but it's only in the last few years that's been been done.
You know, so I've never seen it.
I watched it. It was actually on TV a couple of weeks ago. Funny enough, at the moment, I'm watching Indiana Jones by Steven Spielberg. The Indiana Jones series, the first three I'm talking about, they're almost the perfect movies. You can't fault them. The stunt work, the music, Harrison Ford, the rest of the cast, they are just fantastic films, and they have this magical spark about them, which makes them brilliant. The BFG, I have tried to watch, this last time was the third time, and I actually finished it, doesn't have that spark or magic in it anywhere, I found. Even though it looks beautiful, and the CG is quite good, and Mark Rylance is very good, it just didn't shine.
I'll tell you, I think that Spielberg, whatever... Look, I don't want to take anything away from the guy, but I think that after Jurassic Park, he lost the ability to do those lighter adventure type stuff.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more with you there.
Yeah. I mean, he did Lost World, and that wasn't good. And he's tried, Ready Player One is passable at best, but it's missing, you know, the things that, like, I went on. And on about Free Guy, and it just came out on digital or Blu-ray or something. I watched it again. I liked it just as much. I was like, this is the adventure. It feels like a throwback to those kinds of movies in a lot of ways.
Yes. Yes.
And he doesn't have the, now he's still a great filmmaker, and a lot of the things that he makes is still these dramas and these heavier,
more dramatic.
Yeah, this more grown-up adult cinema that he makes is very, very good. But unfortunately, he's lost whatever it is to make those adventure movies. I think Crystal Skull was a prime example of it. I think Ready Player One and The Lost World and all of these. And the BFG, it sounds like kind of the same deal. He just doesn't know how to make a good fun adventure movie anymore. And that's a shame, but I mean, you know, we all change as we get older, so what are you going to do, right?
I mean, I'm sure this is right, that at one time, the top 10 movies of all time in the box office, about six of them were Steven Spielberg. And, you know, he had, it was like E.T. and Indiana Jones and Jaws and so forth. There was a time when he was, like you say, making these films that just resonated with people and became instant classics. As soon as you saw it, you knew that was just it's going to be a classic. But then, I mean, some people have said, like, about Minority Report, not that I would call that a summer blockbuster, but I can barely tell you anything about that. But it's not got that magic of indie or E.T. or that kind of movie anymore.
It's an interesting one because I think that one kind of straddles the line between heavier and adventure. And I think it does it. I think as a pure work of science fiction, it does a great job. I think it does a remarkable job, and I think it's a really good movie, and I think it held in there for quite a while as a. I think it's definitely one of his better movies, but it certainly isn't the light popcorn fare. There's some heavy shit going on in there. I mean,
and it's not sort of that kids movie as well. Like, I mean, E.T. had every kid crying in the world. You know, and Minority Report obviously was not in that same category.
Yeah, but E.T. was definitely more of a fairy tale. And Minority Report is heavy science fiction questioning some philosophical things that...
Yeah, much like AI did as well.
Yeah, AI is actually not that bad a movie. I dislike the ending. I think they should have ended it with him under the water.
Yes. Yeah, I would have been quite happy with that.
So,
do you know what? Anyway, I was just going to say about Steven Spielberg, we're going off track again. So,
this is what we do, man. This is our brand.
Yeah. I've just looked at the Roald Dahl collection, and you've got, the BFT and Matilda. George's Marvelous Medicine, Danny the Champion of the World. I do remember reading it as a kid at school. The Twits, The Witches, James and the Giant Peach Boy. Actually, there's a couple there that I don't recognize. The Magic Finger and Going Solo. I've not heard of those. So maybe Netflix are going to maybe make some new things that we haven't heard of.
Oh, Magic Finger. That sounds like it's ripe for misunderstanding right there.
But that
could go a very dark direction.
I'm sure that's probably going to get a retitle.
Better, yeah. We're going to call it The Shocker instead. No.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe they are going to do that. And then maybe, I mean, like with Matilda, I mean, you know, quite a few of those have had... I know Danny the Champion of the World, I'm sure I've seen like a cartoon of that, as I remember, on British TV, but maybe they're going to do a live action version of that kind of thing. And James and the Giant Peach was an animation, but again, maybe they might go with a live action version of that with the CG that's available nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I don't want to see them redo the Fantastic Mr. Fox, because I love Wes Anderson's version of it. I think it's great. So, you know, that's just me, but I mean, first of all, it only came out about, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, something like that.
Maybe it's still quite fresh. Yeah.
So I don't want to see them mess with that one. And James and the Giant Peach, that came out quite a while ago now, but I didn't really find anything that impressive with it the first time. So I don't know.
It's one of those scenarios where, I mean, I think one of the reasons I liked the Tim Burton Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is because I do like Tim Burton and I like his visual style and I like the fact that he works with Johnny Depp. And it fitted that genre.
He's
going to
be the
only
one left the way things are going for poor Johnny.
Yeah, that's true. But with them, it depends on who they get to make them. You know, I can't see Tarantino's Witches being, you know, high on the list
Oh, dude, I would totally watch that.
So would I. But I mean, again, you know, I can't imagine kids going, "Hey, mummy, can we watch? Can we watch The Witches?" No, darling. No, 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 no. So again, it depends who they get to do them. They might actually get some people in who do a good adaptation of the book and then direct it quite well with a decent cast.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think Netflix's stuff has been very hit or miss, and some of the stuff they have on there is really bad. But they've had some good stuff, but I think they've fallen down a lot of the woke corporate nonsense too. So
yeah,
you know, you're going to have like that one cartoon show they have. It's called the Big Mouth or something. I mean, it's just it's shockingly offensive, and it's supposed to be all. But I mean, it's like kids and a lot of sexual stuff, and it's like, because it's cartoons, you know, nobody takes it too seriously, but it's really, it's like, it's unnecessary. And it's, I don't understand why they come up with this stuff.
Yeah, it is.
Cuties.
I mean, yeah. That's a whole other can of worms we probably don't need to open just at the moment. But yeah, I do know what you mean. That I do think Netflix have been making some good stuff. Like, for example, we haven't got it on a list of things to talk about because the article's not going to be up tomorrow. But let's mention both Cobra Kai season 4 trailer and Stranger Things teaser.
Yep. So I saw the Cobra Kai. I'm very, very into the Cobra Kai. And of course, being a kid from the 80s, the Karate Kid is, you know, pretty special place in my heart.
You're saying you've stood on a pole at a beach and done a crane kick.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I know I have. You know, I can't deny it. I have stood on a pole and sort of done the whole, you know, up and thing.
I'm not proud of it. I did it last week. So
is that why we didn't hear from you for a week?
Yeah, you know that shit don't work when you're 50. It's like, oh my groin. So that movie just very special, and the Cobra Kai has done such a great job of expanding that world in a way that is believable.
Yeah.
It's added texture where it needed to. And it's done some real, and it's been funny. I mean, when it needed to be, it's been very funny, but it's never been, you know, a parody or anything. They've kept the depth. Fantastic job. And so, yeah, I'm really looking forward to season 4. They're bringing back the most ridiculous villain in the entire thing, Terry, who you gotta love the guys. I mean, Karate Kid 3, it's terrible. It's trash. But it's...
Yes. I was just trying to think of what, it's where he went to Japan. And then, yeah, it was, yeah.
No, yeah, the Japan one is okay. I don't mind it. It's the one where he comes back and the guy with the ponytail who...
That's right. Yeah, he takes him on. Yes, yes,
he runs, I do remember. He runs a corporation that apparently produces evil. Like, its product is evil. That's all he does. And Mr. then he Burns just decides
got an internship
to,
there.
Yeah, and they just and they call it Google. He puts aside everything just to fuck with this recently graduated high school kid.
Yeah.
to help his friend.
And
he's so over the top with it. It's just so much fun. So, well, they're bringing him back. Gray hair, ponytail, and all. And it ought to be interesting to see what they come up with because...
But again, they've never sort of taken it too seriously. It is all been done that little bit tongue-in-cheek in a good way.
In a little bit. I mean, they've never tried to get overly dramatic with it, which is good. But then you've got like they have the kind of the semi-serious... talk where Daniel is like going, we're going to, you know, come together, we're going to stop Cobra Kai from taking the valley, and we're going to do it. And then Johnny just interrupts by kicking the shit out of him till punching him till they cough blood.
Yeah. Because that's the way we solve all our problems.
Johnny, you know, Daniel's always been the hero of the thing, and Johnny in the first one was somewhat one-dimensional. they kind of, with the redemption at the end and a little bit that they added in the first part of Karate Kid Part 2, where he got his statue snapped, they added just enough, yeah, just enough to him.
Yeah.
And now in this show, they've made him basically the hero. I mean, there was a point where Daniel was the villain of the show.
Yeah, which was really well done. Yeah. The way it played out was incredibly well written.
But they didn't do it. They never did it where anybody was too bad or too good. And they kind of switched from protagonist to antagonist and back. And, you know, I love a good redemption arc. I love a good redemption story.
Yeah.
And to watch Johnny kind of, you know, work his way through, you know, the shit and the dumb stuff that he'd been taught as a kid. And then you bring back Kreese, and, you know, they're irredeemable, of course. But everybody else, you know, you figure in the kids and the adults, there's a chance for them to figure this out. And they want to be better. And so you got a lot of complexity going on there that in a show and a movie series, it probably doesn't really deserve it. Or you wouldn't think, you know.
Yeah. Whoever so came well up done the idea. To all of them. Yeah, because the original first series was on YouTube, wasn't it? It was done by somebody on YouTube.
Red, and when they still called it that.
But I mean, again, they just hit it absolutely spot on. They really did write it well. They love it with they wrote it with that loving affection for it, and it really worked. And I didn't think that they played it for any particular reason they didn't go woke with it. They just continued the story. And I actually, the first series, Johnny, I actually felt bad for him as an actor, because I thought, is that what his life is like? It's like really bad.
Yeah, he's actually doing quite well, living off of Karate Kid residuals for the rest of his life. But
it was done so well, you know. It was almost, like you say, it was almost believable that the whole thing had carried on, and all these people were real people in a real life situation.
Well, I don't know how good an actor Zabka is in general, but in this particular role, and becoming, you know, Johnny down and out and everything, and trying to work his way, I think he's perfect.
Yes.
He's perfect in it, and he does a great job. And I appreciate the effort that he's putting into it, making you care, and that he's putting the layers on where he needs to. Could he handle every role thrown at him? Probably not. But in this particular one, he's doing a bang-up job. And you got to give him a lot of credit for that. And I love the wife who basically every once in a while just calls out the ridiculousness of it all.
Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious. Yeah. And
but again, coming back to our point about with like Netflix and everything else, does Cobra Kai work because it just has decent writers and decent people making it?
It's got to be everybody, right? I mean, it's got to be everybody. And
but when you think that Netflix has got involved. I mean, there's a constant joke I see coming up about how they do sort of race swap characters, and The Witcher being the prime one of not Ciri, what's she called? I can't think of her name now, the redheaded girl. And they've completely swapped her out. And fans were sort of, oh, goodness me, you know, and everything else. And in the book, she's described as, and in the game, she's described as, but Netflix then decided to go and change her. And so has Netflix left Cobra Kai alone enough to let just let it expand, or do you think at some point they are going to go, do you know what, we need to have somebody in here who's a female protagonist? Well, I mean, which they kind of have done, I suppose, but they kind of did that in the season one, didn't they, with the daughter?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of, well, that's just it, you know, the kids have been good and bad, the adults have been good and bad, and you know, I like the idea that in general nobody's all good or all bad. There are people that are all bad. Kreese would be the one. But in general, most people are not all good or all bad. People make, you know, most people want to do good and make a lot of mistakes. And that's kind of that's the theme of the entire show. You know, you just got to pick yourself up, learn from your mistakes, and move on forward. And that's fine. Yeah.
I'm like you. I'm looking forward to season four. Stranger Things, I think we'll hold off for, because I know that the article is going to be going up tomorrow. So we'll hold that off for another day. I will say is, again, I'm very much looking forward to it, because I think Sean Levy and the Duffer brothers have done an outstanding job with that series. And I hope season four lives up to the other seasons.
I don't think the subsequent seasons have been quite as good. They haven't been terrible, but they haven't been, the first season, there was a novelty to it all, I think.
Yeah.
And the subsequent seasons, like, I feel like the second season was kind of, they did the first one again. I'm afraid it's going to go into Heroes territory, you know, where they had such a hit on their hands, they didn't know what to do with it after that.
But conversely, I thought season three was one of the best bits of TV I'd seen in a long time.
Season three was better. They definitely improved.
Yeah.
But
it was weird with the whole Russian thing, but it worked. And then, do you know what? Let's talk about this next week when everybody's seen the trailer.
That's
not everybody
fine.
May have seen the trailer. So let's talk about blah, 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 blah.
That's my next tab. That's the only reason I picked it.
Doctor Who. Just because you're talking to an English person and somebody who understands it.
Yes.
Sort of.
So you know Doctor Who better than I do, so I'm going to let you talk about it.
He lives down the road.
In Antarctica, I'm certain.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
You go ahead and talk about what you think of the changes. I'm going to be right back, and I'm going to put you on. You lucky dog. You get to take the show for a few minutes, because I just had somebody call and I got to check on something real quick.
Okay. I do like the fact that you've given me Doctor Who to talk about, which I didn't really want to talk about, but okay.
you know fun. What? You can talk about whatever you want. If you want to skip Doctor Who and come back to it when I come back, that's fine. You pick whatever you want. It's your show, George. I am at your mercy now.
Okay. So let's talk about the takedown of Drunken Yoda. No. with Doctor Who, I have been a fan for a long time. Some of the episodes, when I was a younger lad, I wasn't allowed to watch because they were too scary. And I have enjoyed the Christopher Eccleston and the David Tennant and the Matt Smith. But I must admit that when I got to Jodie Whittaker, when they did the big announcement and everything else, I did switch off a bit. Because they'd made such a big deal about her being female. I know it's a horrible thing to say and everything else. Jodie Whittaker is a fantastic actress and I really, really like her. But it went too female-centric. And then I turned out I was right because the fans have dropped away from it. And it is a shame because it has been fantastic in some of the series, the way they played the series out, that there were tie-ins to the last episode and that kind of thing have been very, very clever, which is a bit of a shame that Doctor Who has gone that way. But it turns out that Jodie Whittaker is out, and in is, I know Stephen Moffat is one of the writers who was writing at the time of, I want to say, Matt Smith and some of the others that I've watched, because he was quite good. I'm just trying to find the article now. I did read it. We do keep up with quite a lot of news on The Last Movie Outpost, so it's difficult to keep up with all of it. There we go, Jodie Whittaker. But yeah, she's out, and then there's now speculation of who's going to carry on the role. I kind of have no dog in the fight with it, so I'm not massively bothered. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but Doctor Who to me is just lost all that magic. I don't see who's going to be taken over. What I did want to talk about, though, was if he does come back, I hope he does. Halloween Kills. Now, I am one of those people that loves Halloween. Fantastic movie. Absolutely brilliant. Changed everything. The music about it, the budget, it was brilliant. It was the, I think, highest grossing independent movie of all time until Blair Witch came out. Halloween Kills is the 12th version. I have seen the first half a dozen, I think. I've definitely seen the first one. Second one continues it, not bad. Third one completely goes off the rails. but I didn't mind that. I think the fourth and fifth one, I have seen them. All I can tell you about them is Michael goes around killing people and then gets away at the end, which was exactly the same as Halloween 2018. To me, it's flogging a dead horse. They are... It's just always the same thing. There's nothing new about them. I mean, some people on Twitter have said that 2018 was like the best slasher movie of all time. And I do think to myself, really? It's like the best one? It's not the best one. I have seen 2018 and I just remember laughing through it at some of the utter ludicrousy of it. I maybe I need to watch it again because maybe I did miss something, and I'm quite happy to do that. It is coming up to Halloween. We are planning on doing some horror movie reviews for the month. So maybe I should put 2018 on there and watch it again and give it a second chance. I am quite happy to do that. I don't write movies off in one go. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood to watch them at the time I watch them. And then when I watch them again, they're great. But the 12th one, really? And they've got another one after that. So we know what's going to happen in Halloween Kills. Michael's going to go around killing people and then survive at the end. That's kind of it. The other news we were going to talk about was the Emmys. I barely looked at them. I'm not a big one for awards, to be honest. It's good to recognise people's achievements and so forth. And I'm completely all for that. It's absolutely wonderful. But just the Emmys for me have just never I suppose it's because it's an American thing. But then conversely, I don't really concentrate on the BAFTAs either, because I find that they're not particularly that interesting. It's not awful. These people have worked so hard and they've won an award, and I just go, well, nobody gives me any awards, not that I deserve them, but you know what I mean. I can't even find a thing for the Emmys now. That must have been quite a while ago. It's been quite a lot of news this week. I was away at the beginning of the week, but catching up with everything, we were going to talk about what the Star Wars editor says about the Disney prequels. But you know what? Again, that's just me flogging a dead horse if I go on about it. The Emmy Award winners. So we had The Crown, which I've not watched, but I've heard it's very good. The Queen's Gambit, I've not watched, but I've heard it's very good. Ted Lasso, I've heard is very good. Hamilton, I've not been able to get through. Stephen Colbert. Do you know what? There's actually quite a lot on here. I'm just checking them that I haven't seen. RuPaul's Drag Race, no. Ted Lasso, Hacks, no. Hacks, no. Saturday Night Live. I don't think I've seen any of the winners of the Emmys. No, I haven't. Lovecraft Country. I watched up to about episode 5 or 6 and gave up on that because didn't enjoy it. Saturday Night Live. Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square. No, all the Emmy winners I have not seen, so I can't say anything about them. Isn't that awful? In the other hot stories, I did do the article the other day about the Wonder Years is back, but this time it's back to 1968, and it's a young black kid growing up in, I want to say Detroit, but that not be right. Like I say, even though I did write it, like I say, we're very busy. We do go through an awful lot. Blah 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 blah. I'm just checking the details. No, it doesn't say. But again, they're apparently making it for the TikTok generation. Now, I am an older person, not like really old, but a boomer, apparently, is the expression, which is offensive. I've no idea. But the TikTok generation, my niece is 12 and she showed me TikTok once. And the 30 seconds that I saw was enough for me to know that I wasn't really going to enjoy it very much. And so I'm not a massive TikTok person, but if they're aiming this new series at that generation, I think I said in my article that it seems like some people on TikTok could be quite happily entertained with a balloon on a stick. Oh, no, he's back. Stop talking about him. Yeah, no, I think Drunken Bride is great.
Nobody believes you.
I've been through quite a lot, actually. I kind of talked about Doctor Who, but there's not much I could say, to be honest. And the same with the Emmys. I went through all the list of people who had won stuff and I haven't seen any of them. So unfortunately, I'm a little down on that one as well. But I think actually we could, if we wanted to, because I do want to talk about this, Star Wars Visions.
I think it's about time we do that. Let me see. Did Dom finally stop feeding his kids, or he said he was going to try and make it?
I don't think so.
No. All right. Well, we'll go on without him.
Okie doke. So, Star Wars Visions, if you don't know what it is, basically, Lucasfilm Animation gave the rights to some Japanese studios to make their own versions of Star Wars in their own unique style. There were 9 in total. They were only about 17 minutes long, probably 16 minutes with the credits. But you had, in the American dubbing, people like Lucy Liu, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Mark Thompson, Neil Patrick Harris, Alison Brie. I can't read my own writing. Oh, here we go. Kari Harakiri Takawa. It was in the original Mortal Kombat. David Harbour, James Hong, Jamie Chung, and George Takei. So it was good cast for the British actors. And you had 9 individual stories. So as an overall viewpoint, what did you make of them?
I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of like, here's my problem. There's a lot of, it's anime with Star Wars trappings, right?
Right.
There's no real adherence to the rules of the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. So some of it is, you've got to let go of that kind of stuff. If you're going to enjoy it properly, and maybe you have to be a huge anime fan, I don't know. I am not a huge... I like some anime. I'm really big into Miyazaki stuff. And I appreciate things like Akira, Ghost in the Shell. I really like a one that's probably not as well known. It's called Metropolis. I appreciate the art and everything, but I think it's like anything. There's some that's really good and some that's hit or miss. In general for anime. So okay. For this, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when it comes to anime with me, what I've always appreciated with anime is, I wouldn't say I'm a massive fan. I wouldn't say like I'm a connoisseur of them or anything else, but I do enjoy them. Like I say, Akira, Ghost in the Shell, Spirited Away and that kind of thing. What I've always loved about anime is how you just said, they don't conform to any rules. I mean, the first ones I ever saw, I think, were Demon City and Ninja Scroll.
Sure.
Which were pretty messed up if you've ever seen them.
But I've heard, them, I haven't.
But with them, there was, like you say, there was no rules. When you think of like Spirited Away, it's about a young girl and her parents turn into pigs and she's got to work in this place, and it's so bizarre, it's wonderful, and I actually really like that. So with these stories, I was half expecting that kind of thing, and so for me, I thoroughly enjoyed all of them.
So I think my problem is that I agree with the wonderful ways anime can be really light and fun, or it could be dark and horrific and techno or medieval and everything in between. They can do all kinds of stuff with it because there's no preconceptions to what a particular anime story is going to be. But this is adapting something that we all have our preconceived notions about. So I'm having problems, I think, and this is maybe just my problem. More than anything, I'm not trying to disparage the actual work that they did versus my trying to get past, because, well, I'm going to skip slightly ahead here, but like in the Twins, when the guy is surfing the X-Wing nose,
right,
and he's got a lightsaber blade that's about 6 miles long, and the droid takes the X-Wing to light speed so that he could cut an entire Star Destroyer in half. I'm going, what the fuck am I watching here? So,
conversely, I thought to myself, oh, that's so awesome. Why haven't I never... Again, I'm not a massive comic book fan, but I mean, I have seen in a couple of comic books how There's a Sith and a Jedi chasing through these moons and so forth, and the Sith brings two planets together to crush the Jedi, you know, and it was spectacular. And so seeing that, obviously the way it was done and the way it was directed was completely over the top, which was obviously that animator's style. But I did think to myself, that's so cool. I did. I loved it.
I was just going, I just blinked away and said, there was a lot of sake in that room when they came up with this shit. So let's go to each. So you got the first one is The Duel. And that's the one that's, I guess you could say it's animated almost like pencil sketches.
Yes. It's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
And with splashes of color for emphasis. So like maybe you'll see a little bit of the droids' lights. And of course, when they pull out their lightsabers, which are actually shaped like katanas, you see the red of those blades, which stands out in stark contrast to the black and white of the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I quite like that one. I thought it was, you know,
to me, that one, in my head, was if Akira Kurosawa made a Star Wars movie now.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking more along the lines of the Man with No Name trilogy. You know, the Clint Eastwood stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just wanders into a town. They need some help. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of everybody steals.
Relation. Else, yeah.
But that's kind of what I was thinking, especially since he's not necessarily a good guy, as we like find out.
Like a Ronin, obviously, because, you know, apparently the Ronins, if they lost their employee, were wanderers and generally looked down upon.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I thought that was interesting. It's a very simple story, you know. The town needs help. He decides to help. He may be a bad guy, but he's trying to be good. We don't really know very much. We don't really need to know. He's got that, like the Man with No Name, you know, the Clint Eastwood character. He's taking care of himself, but he helps because
he can.
He feels some compulsion that even he can't really explain.
There's maybe something in his past that he's trying to correct and gain forgiveness for in his own.
Yeah, trying to turn the lightsaber a different color. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just the red clashes with his outfit. Who knows?
I think the main thing that a Jedi worries about, obviously, is color coordination.
You know, he's a gay Jedi. He needs to look fabulous. He's very in tune with fashion. No, I think it was a good story. It was a very simple story, and he's collecting, like, he has all those red crystals in his jacket. Yeah. So he's obviously been, maybe he's on a, I mean, like, he helped the village, but then you wonder, is he just going to be the one Sith and then he'll do his bad thing? You know, that's the neat thing. It begets a lot of questions.
I think I'm going to keep coming back to this point, but what I got out of all of these as we discuss them is the incredible depth of how much I thought about each one. That, like you say, that there was a whole level there that you just said about, you know, like I say, is he just trying to become the most evil person in the galaxy? And just each of them were only that 17 minutes. And obviously writing 17 minutes and then writing a 2-hour movie are two different things. I understand that. But at the same time, within those 17 minutes, you have created a backstory for somebody who, what is that about? You know, and you're intrigued and you want to see where it goes or where he's been and all that kind of thing, and expanded it. I'm going to keep saying that because I think this comes back to all of them. That each, I said I watched, it was only Saturday, I watched the first five, and I felt like I watched five epic movies. And each of them in bed, I kept sort of thinking, my goodness me, so what was happening there? And there was just so much more that I wanted to see out of them.
I was surprised about how many of them made the women the bad guys. Japanese did not give two fucks about your political correctness. When they had the black woman bad guy that got
I'm going to do a U and disappear for just a couple of minutes.
You go right ahead. I'll take over. So, but you know, they did not give two shits about that. They just want to make sure that they've got a good story. And it was well done. And it wasn't that all the women were bad. They weren't. There was good women. There was bad women. There was, you know, it was like they didn't care about your political idiocy. They just wanted to tell good stories with interesting characters. What a concept. Apparently, we could take some notes from the Japanese animators who come up with these stories. So, so that was fun. I don't know before we go into some of the X episodes, I did want to talk a little bit about the news that maybe I missed or he had to do. But some of the things that are coming up that I saw, if you haven't gone to lastmovieoutpost.com, please do. We have a new retro review of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which I thought was really well done. We also would ask you to crush that like button. Crush the like button. See it driven before you. Hear the lamentations of the dislike button. Is the worst Arnold you'll ever hear in your life.
The dislike button? Why are you on there?
I'm asking them to crush the like button.
Oh, I see.
See it driven before you.
Not
hear
begging,
the lamentations of the dislike button.
Okay, did you move on from the duel?
Well, I just wanted to ask them to hit the like button, and I talked a little bit about some of the stories that are on Last Movie Outpost. Basically, I shilled for about 5 minutes until you got back. I shamelessly shilled our site.
No worries. Okay, so the duel, we've talked about the duel, so let's move on to the next one. Now, this one, I have to say,
Tatooine Rhapsody.
This was my least favorite of the stories.
Yes.
Because it was predominantly aimed at kids, is what I thought.
Maybe.
I'm fine with that, but I just thought it was... I thought at first, this is ridiculous, they're in a band. But then I thought to myself, I know the name of Max Rebo. Who is, you know, so there is a thing about musicians in Star Wars, obviously, and that's where this director particularly took this story.
Oh, God, why does it still say that? It says that we're having a Justice League watch party. I know I changed it in the damn Facebook. I know I did. And I thought that this would work, but no, it still doesn't work. Why? Facebook, you suck. You hear me? You suck. I hate you. I'm just going to have to go into Facebook every single time and fix this because Facebook sucks.
Facebook, I don't really want to watch shit. Justice League again. It's really long.
Nobody wants to watch Justice League again. Talk more about the while I fix this.
Okay, right. So, let's say Tatooine Rhapsody. I thought this was, like I say, it was an odd one because I just didn't see them being in a band. And I did like the fact that you had like the young or the son of Jabba. And I also like the fact that it was Tamir Morrison who did the voice of Boba Fett, which was very good. But it was a very odd story. But then conversely, as I just said, I know the name of Max Rebo and his band from Jabba's Palace. And so I also used to play Star Wars Galaxies, and one of the characters on there was Entertainer, and you could buff people and get them stronger and everything else. So I don't know why I'm moaning about that, really. It was just, I was expecting more Jedi stuff as opposed to kids rock band stuff, which I think is fair. That's kind of why we were watching Visions. It was, like I say, it was my least favorite, but it wasn't to say that it was bad. It was still, I think, very well made and very interesting, but just not my cuppa in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it, and I kind of got a kick that they didn't end up making like the they had all these hints that the lead singer was a Jedi, And it's like, no, it's just a microphone. It's not a lightsaber. And then they, I guess I kind of like the ending. It's like Jabba was going to kill one of their band members, and they ended up being so good. And I don't know if you noticed, they were at the pod racing arena. And they ended up being so good that they wound up getting managed. He became their manager and sponsored them or whatever. And now they're the new rock band of the. I think it would have been better if it had been Max Rebo's band. That's how they became his private band, maybe. But
But then you can think to yourself that they became so big across the galaxy that they were off playing on another planet when Jabba was killed by Luke, you know, at the Sarlacc pit.
Maybe,
you know,
they didn't blow up on the sail barge. So
yeah, exactly. So yeah, Max Rebo is the one who got the gig, and because of it, he died.
Yeah, that's true. So I I agree. It's and again, for those of you watching on Facebook, I apologize. I don't know why I typed it incorrectly. It said I use Streamlabs, or maybe if one of you in the chat, if you've used Streamlabs or something, you can tell me why this does this. By schedule a stream, I told both of them, here's the title and everything. YouTube and Facebook. YouTube comes up correctly. Facebook keeps using an old stream that I did months and months ago now, then it won't stop doing it. It's driving me nuts. So I guess I'll just have to change it as we go along, but I have no idea why that did that. And that's,
you don't actually think people are watching this, do you?
It could happen.
It's just me and you. It's just talking. This is just a Zoom call.
According to this, we have 2 concurrent viewers and 16 playbacks. Ooh. The playbacks are probably from Facebook. You don't know.
Yes, trying to watch Justice League.
They keep saying every week they're going to do Justice League. They never do Justice League.
That is weird. Right, anyway, so let's move on from that one. So the next one is, as you've already mentioned, the twins. I did like the opening, how it panned back from the Star Destroyer, and then it obviously had this massive weapon in the middle of it, and then
2 Star Destroyers.
2 Star Destroyers glued together, which was very good. I obviously imagined that it was going to go as a boy and a girl with it, because it just seemed like the obvious way to play it out.
Well, when they showed the guy, I almost thought, are they doing kind of a what if of Leia and Luke? But then when the girl came out as hugely blonde, you know, I was like, oh, this is something else.
Well, again, but then that just might be the style of the director, that he likes that big blondie hair type thing. He obviously also likes people surfing X-Wings
in the hyperspace with 6-mile-long lightsabers. I mean, they're surviving in space. I mean, you remember Leia, say what you want about Last Jedi, and please say it, because it's all probably true, everything you criticize about it. But even Leia, she wasn't like, you know, rocking out in space. I mean, she had to go to the hospital for a while after that. It wasn't like when she was, you know, floating in space and managed to rescue herself. It was a life or death situation. They're just out there in space going, what's the big deal? We can breathe in space. We're Jedi. Fuck you.
Well, I mean, I kind of understood it from the fact that she, as I remember, was wearing her.
Yeah, but then neither of them
beforehand.
Had armor.
But then,
So clearly that wasn't a thing. I just was like going, okay, just go with it. I guess this is what they're doing. When he went to light speed, he's surfing the, you know, to slice the thing in half, to slice a.
I don't know. Like I say, it fitted the style of the animation, and so I just rolled with it, you know, and just went with it. And like you say, I mean, it was obviously ridiculous, because I did think to myself, "Is he breathing outside? That doesn't make any sense." You know, he's in space.
The story wasn't ridiculous.
No,
the story wasn't played for laughs. Like the band story, there's clearly an element of humor in it.
Yes.
But this one was not, it was played straight.
Yeah.
But it was ridiculous what they were doing. And I'm like going, okay, that's just the style, or they're just taking it to an Akira level or a Dragon Ball Z level, whatever, for their powers, maybe. I don't know. I was just having trouble with that one, going, trying to reconcile these two things. You're playing it straight, but you,
if I suppose if you watched it as a movie and it was a real life movie and Luke was on the front of his X-Wing doing that, then you would have probably gone, hang on a minute, no, he's pushing it a bit too far now. It's just pushing it beyond the pale of believability. Because I mean, this is a stupid thing to say, and I know how stupid it sounds, but I mean, I've always believed Star Wars is real because it is set in a real universe, you know, that you can believe that this actually happens. Whereas in these animations,
are you saying Star Wars isn't real?
No, not to take that away from you.
don't scare me like that. Christ.
But with these animations, obviously you can, I mean, we're obviously at a point now where with CG you can do whatever you want, but with these animations, these directors are used to thinking, you know, this is what I want to do, and can just draw it, and it can look real in the sense of how it's drawn.
Well, yeah, I mean, that wasn't none of the other ones really went to that level of bizarre craziness, you know. the continent sized lightsaber blades and things like that. I mean, they may have exaggerated a few things here and there. Maybe they made the lightsaber blade look like a katana blade, gave it an edge and a curve and things like that. Or they put some ruins on it, you know, some writing on the blade somehow. You know, a little bit of, it's like, okay, that's a little odd, but this guy just went, fuck it. that was his whole thing.
It would be interesting to look up who, because I didn't look up the names of the directors, but I would be interested to see some of his other work, to see if it goes on that sort of bizarre.
That's from Studio Trigger, and it's by Hiroyuki Imayashi. And he's done, I don't know what Studio Trigger has done.
And we've just lost all of our Japanese viewers.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm going to fuck up all that stuff. I don't see anything in here that's really...
Just funny enough, I've just looked through the same, and there's nothing in there that I can say that
I've seen,
even heard of. Yeah.
So probably hasn't made it to Crackle yet.
Oh, interesting. He's done a cyberpunk called Edge Runners. He's working on that for next year. That might be interesting.
This is what it says. It says, using his X-Wing and the power of hyperspace. That's not how that works. You don't use the power of hyperspace to slice open a crystal.
I suppose, though, this is the problem kind of with particularly The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, that all of a sudden Rey could heal. And it was kind of, sorry, what? Can everybody do that? Because that would have saved a lot of hassle in the other movies if people could do that. You know, Qui-Gon wouldn't have died.
Healing doesn't seem like something that's out of bounds for the Force, I guess.
No, but what I mean is, well, funny enough, actually, we're going to come to a story which deals with that. But what I mean is in the movies when they did it, it was just kind of, hang on a minute, why are we going with this? And we just all of a sudden we're accepting that this is what happens. And the same with this, you know,
They didn't introduce it properly or build it up or anything.
No.
But they've been doing that since, I mean, if you remember the first Star Wars, nobody levitated anything. Nobody was able to pull a lightsaber from the ground to their hand.
Empire Strikes Back, he did.
In Empire, he did, but not the very first one. They added that in Empire. And then in Jedi, they added the lightning bit, right? The Force lightning. So the idea that they don't add on powers here and there as time has gone on, because if you think of the very first Star Wars, A New Hope, whatever you want to call it, there's no point where somebody picks up something with his mind. That never happens.
Just trying to think now, and no, yeah, you're right.
It doesn't happen. And then, I remember distinctly, even at that age, when he was able to grab the lightsaber from the snow, that was the first time we'd seen something like that. I was like, oh, is that a thing you can do now? I didn't know. And of course, it was difficult for him to do that. It wasn't, you know, he wasn't able to, he just happened, you know, he just needed to do it, and he, you know, whatever. But then they started really getting into the control of that and how to do it and everything in his training. Then in the last one, then you start getting into the Force lightning, and
they introduced them,
yeah,
in a better way. Like I say, they didn't, like with the Force heal, they didn't introduce it in the last of the movies and then make it a quite a crux point at the end of the film as well, because obviously what's his name, Kylo goes down, but then comes back, and then Rey heals him, and then they all swap bodies or whatever it is, and yeah, I still don't understand what happens at the end of that film. But
the important point is that they never introduced a power in the original Star Wars where you think, boy, that would have been useful in a previous movie.
Yes.
You never felt like, you know, so that kind of worked. And you could also say, okay, the Emperor is just so fucking evil that he's the only one that can do the lightning thing. It's just a thematic, it's more of a thematic power to show just how far gone he is rather than,
yes,
you know, leveling up to a new power. And
Okay, so having dealt with that, again, not that I'd want to go off track, but that
why stop now?
the twins was a weird one, but we've still got more to talk about. So let's talk about the Village Bride.
I probably like this one the least.
Oh, really? Okay.
And mostly because I just it took me a while to figure out what the hell was going on here and what they are. I mean, I guess the one guy is like taking her on his back, and then they're going to get married, but then the water comes up on the mountain or the lake. I'm honestly, I'm having trouble remembering exactly what's in it, but I was having trouble following what is going on here. And I think at the end, it was just basically a Seven Samurai kind of thing. You know, the village needs to rise up and save themselves.
Yes.
Kind of thing. And
yeah, like I say, funny enough, I'm trying to think of it now. And like I say, that first half is not much I actually remember about that. But yeah, the second half, I did kind of like the idea that this girl's going to sacrifice herself because of these rules that have been implied upon them by these bandits.
Right.
And then the Jedi obviously step in and, like I say, and teach them to fight for themselves.
I think that was the big crux of it, but there was a lot of world building I think that they were trying to do that just didn't come across for me. And so they would have been better off showing a little bit more of the village's plight and that kind of stuff instead of just a guy walking up carrying that woman on his shoulders on a backpack or something.
I remember it now. And then they go to the stone and touch it, and it kind of shows them this vision of something or other, doesn't it? Yeah, again, it was I must admit, this one did stick in my mind, and I did quite like it, but only from the fact that I kind of wanted to see more of it. That, like you say, what, you know, why was he carrying him up there? What were these magical stones? Was it the Force that was, you know, and all that kind of stuff? That there was, because they only had those 16 minutes to tell the story, there was a lot crammed in there that just couldn't be expanded on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think. I don't know. You only have 16 minutes, so you got to use them wisely. And I'm not sure that, since this is the only story you're going to tell of that, I would assume. I mean, there could be a Star Wars Visions 2. I don't know. But it just didn't work for me. It just didn't come together as well. And
fair enough.
By the time it was done, I don't remember anything about it, really. So
no, fair enough. So now, this one, The Ninth Jedi, this is the last one I watched last night, and this is where I felt I had to turn off, because this, to me, was, I think, the best one, personally.
I would agree. I actually like this very much. So I don't know if you know this or not, I've read, or at least I listened to the audiobook of Ahsoka.
Okay.
And that was...
go on.
Well, this came out when I still had a glimmer of hope that the new trilogy was going to be worth a shit. But the Ahsoka book is actually pretty good. And the idea is that if you watched Rebels, she has white lightsabers.
Right.
And the reason why she has white lightsabers is because in the Ahsoka book, she took them from a Sith and they were red.
Right.
And because of her purity, her goodness or whatever, defeating him and everything. And it wasn't like immediate. It took some time, but she was able to purge the blood out of the lightsaber kyber crystals.
And almost take the evil out of it almost.
You got it. That's exactly what happened. So she does that and they become pure white, not blue, not green, none of the other stuff. Because Sith, what they're saying is that Sith lightsabers are actually corrupted Jedi. There's no red kyber crystals. They become corrupted because of the dark side.
Okay.
There's purple, there's green, there's blue. There might be yellow and a couple of others, but there's no red until a Sith gets a hold of it and corrupts it.
Right.
So they took that idea, in my opinion, and, you know, they kind of sped it up. You know, just by touching the lightsaber, it turned the color that you were. But I don't know. I kind of liked it. I kind of liked the girl that had been working with it for a while, but she hadn't quite made her commitment. And so it was kind of a weird clear lightsaber until it finally turned. I think it turned green for her. I don't remember. And then
it was a good twist. We are going to obviously have to say spoilers if you haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, but it was a good twist. The first four anyway. So.
Oh yeah, go back in time and say spoilers. But again, the way the story played out, that obviously that you thought. You were thinking to yourself, hang on, so this guy who's invited him there, he's actually a Sith and he just there to plan to kill them. And again, to me, it was a story that I watched it and then I was annoyed that it finished because I could have easily sat down for 2 hours and watched a whole thing about that.
Would you say that one is a perfect example of properly subverting your expectations? Of doing it right?
Yes.
Because I felt it did. But in a good way. I felt it was all in a good way.
What I found myself thinking is I got thinking about, in particular, Finn, Poe, and Phasma, how Finn's character in the three prequels has almost zero arc. You know, he goes from a stormtrooper to a good guy to a gambling planet to get something.
To Rey's simp.
Yeah, to just nothing. And it's just, he has zero character development. And the same with Poe. I didn't think, you know, he went from an excellent pilot. I loved him in the first one. He's flying around, he was all good and stuff. And then he just becomes a bit of a whiny girl in the second one, but kind of saves the day. And then the third one, he just becomes a whiny girl when everybody turns up. And that was kind of his arc. And then the same with Phasma. They even just killed Phasma off in the second one. And it was just, again, you had a character who was a big badass woman who could have been fantastic. And he just killed her off. And he got killed by somebody who'd worked in sanitation, which still really annoyed me.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't like it at all.
And then in this, but I kept referring back to this, how I don't remember the names of the characters in that particular Ninth Jedi, but there was so much story and arc that everyone went through. I mean, to be fair, even the taxi driving droid went through more of an arc than some of the characters did in the Disney prequels. You know, they told these stories where I don't want to say on the edge of my seat, but I was so involved with the characters in just 15 minutes than I was over a 6-hour period of what Disney had produced.
I was impressed with. Okay, so let's take it a little bit back because it's not that complicated story, but there were a few questions. So you've got these eight Jedi that show up, seven or eight Jedi show up at the behest of this armored dude who looks evil.
We should also say this is set very much in the future where
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
I couldn't tell if it was set in the future or what. I was guessing
No, I'm sure it was set sometime in the future where the Jedi and the Sith had sort of killed each other out and none of them existed anymore. That's the impression I got.
They clearly existed. So
hidden because none of them had seen a lightsaber. So obviously the training to build your own lightsaber had not taken place. They obviously didn't know about kyber crystals and things. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, well, it was a little bizarre because they So, there's this planet, these kyber crystals are out in this asteroid field, and they go out and they, this dude in this weird getup, he summons these Jedi to come because they have discovered the secret of making lightsabers again. In the meantime, the lightsaber smith is down there on the planet, you know, gathering up the lightsabers. He has his daughter who clearly has some skill. She doesn't know about it. She's not, you know, but she has some skill, and takes the lightsabers over to where they're all meeting. And then the eight Jedi pick them up, and all but one of them, as soon as they turn them on, they all turn red, and we realize they're Sith, or at least dark evil.
Yeah.
And so there's a big fight, and the guy in the armor, he had sent had a big droid. It turns out he was in the droid and came out and said, "I figured you were all, you know, back." So they kept, you know, kept twist. And then there's a big fight, and then they kill all the Sith except for one who, now that the Sith are gone, his lightsaber turns purple immediately. And they realize he was kind of more under the influence or something.
Yeah.
And now they're going to go forth. Decided. They're going to go forth and try to find the missing Jedi and get these lightsabers to them. But they clearly know how to use the Force, and they're, you know, they're pulling, you know, telekinesis and all that kind of stuff. So, and then the girl that's up there, she grabs one of the lightsabers that was, you know, when she held it, it was clear, but the more she fought, the more she committed, and the stronger she got it, I think it turned green like you would expect. So yeah, I kind of with you. It's like, boy, there's a lot here to unpack. There's a lot here that could be really interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing a show based on this.
Yeah.
It was different. It was interesting, and had more going on in it than all three of the sequels.
To me, yeah. To me, like I say, I thought it was my favorite one. Even thinking about them now, I still go back to that one and think it was just so well done.
I would agree. I think that was the best.
And so the next episode is TOB1.
Toby.
The animation style in this one wasn't my favorite. It was very cartoonish in the way it was done. But again, I felt that Toby went through more of an arc than Ray did in 15 minutes.
I would agree. I think I don't know what to make of this one, because is he a droid?
I got the impression that this was very much Pinocchio, that, you know, he had built this droid.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't really thinking that, but now that you mention it, yeah.
He wants to be a real boy. He wants to grow up to be a Jedi.
Yeah. It was a Jedi. Okay, so a Jedi who's in hiding, probably after Order 66. And he's got all these little droids. He makes up one that looks like, what's a Robo Boy, or what was the?
Not Astro Boy.
Astro Boy, yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, that's the one. But he looks like that. And he's very much a kid, and he dreams about doing, he doesn't act like a droid at all, even though clearly he's a droid. So, but he can use the Force or something. I don't know. I would find this all bizarre, but I don't know if you know about this or not, but there is a story in Star Wars Tales. This was the Dark Horse comics way back when, before the prequels even came out. So it was in the '90s. And they told a story where R5-D4, that's the red droid. Isn't it sad that I know that designation? R5-D4 is the red droid that blows up, and they end up taking R2 instead at the Jawa. You know, bazaar.
Yeah.
And so the idea was that he knew he was actually a Force-sensitive droid, and he knew where he had to be to make sure that the Star Wars trilogy happened. And so when they picked him, he blew up on purpose to keep to keep the story moving, so they would take R2, because he knew that that's where the plans were, or something along those lines. And somebody who knows that story better than I do. So I was like, okay, well, then I guess they've kind of already gone down this route that maybe there's force sensitive droids. So I guess they're just taking this one to the next level.
I mean, the okay with that, but R2 and R4 are both or astromech droids. So right. I got the impression from this Toby that he was built in a way that he could be force sensitive. A chip or a filter. I mean, it's always made me laugh that in Return of the Jedi, when R2 and C-3PO go downstairs in Jabba's palace, there's a robot being tortured and having its feet burned. And yes. I've always thought to myself, why have they fitted pain sensors on a robot? What is the point? You know, if you shoot a robot, it's not going to go, oh, no, my arm, you know.
Except 3PO did that all the time, right?
Yeah, but again, like I say, to me, that you know, torturing a robot by burning his feet never made any sense to me. But maybe this Jedi had found a way to infuse the Force into this Toby at some point in time or somehow.
I guess. I was trying to figure out, and see, maybe this is just me trying to overthink it. I mean, as a story, it was fine. It didn't, you know, it was a cute little story, I guess. And then I don't know. I kind of like the idea. I think the crux of the idea was that the kid wanted to do, because he even kind of referenced, you know, adventure, excitement. And then when he actually got the Force and he was able to do the, you know, defeat the Dark Jedi or Dark Sith or whatever he was.
Whoever it was, yeah.
That he ended up taking his master's quest to reclaim planets, which he found boring at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that he kind of realized what, you know, this is all. So I think that's the deal with it. I didn't have a real huge problem with it. I just was like, oh, okay, yeah, fine.
It was, I enjoyed it, but yeah, like you say, I completely agree. Now, so then moving on to the Elder. Now, this to me, again, was one of the ones that really stuck with me.
Yep, it was good. It was, again, it was very much in line with the first one, which was, you know, bad guy comes down to a planet, they got to take care of the bad guy, you know, just hunt down the bad guy and take him out.
See, funny enough, I didn't get the impression that they thought he was a bad guy to begin with. He was just an elder. Unless I missed something in that, but I never got the impression that the two Jedi thought he was a bad guy.
I don't think he did it first, but the one guy did say that he kind of sensed the dark side and then it kind of went away. And he was like, he clearly, I mean, I think a big part of it was, you know, the youngins not knowing, thinking they know everything when they don't, or don't realize how dangerous it is out there. And
also not listening to you. Well, not, I mean, he did, but I mean, also, you know, you've got to take into account your elders' experience of certain things and what they do know that what younger people don't.
Yeah, I would say exactly. I think there was a lot of that going on. Very likable characters, you know, the kid, very likable. The elder Jedi is very likable. The bad guy is bad, as suitably he should be.
He was kind of like a cheeky little chappy, but at the same time, quite evil with it. Yeah. I do like the fact that he sort of said, the Jedi said that if he had been hit at his prime, he wouldn't have been able to win that fight. No. It was time that actually killed him.
Now, let me ask you this. If this had been done by an American studio, do you think they would have called that bad guy racist?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, again, it's so weird because I didn't even think of that.
That's what pisses me off about the woke, is that they put that crap into my mind now. It's like, I wonder if they would have called that racist if we had done it, you know?
If Americans had done it, yeah.
It used to be, that never even occurred to me, that kind of stuff. I just hate, from, I hate, you know, these, from, these bastards.
From the fact that what's it called, Apu's been cancelled because he was, you know, so offensively racist, apparently. But yeah, like I said, I never even thought of that. Because the actual guy, looking at the details, the elder was James Hong. Who, you know, when you hear the voice, you hear him, and I saw him in it. I knew it was actually James Hong before I watched it.
Yeah.
But like I say, no, it never even occurred to me that that might have been racist. But because it's been made by a Japanese studio, apparently it's all right.
Right. And you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with anything they did in there. personally.
No.
I'm thinking more along the lines of who would be screaming at this if it wasn't made by a Japanese studio? Because, you know, that's just sad that I have that comes to my brain, you know?
That is a shame.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is a shame. It's a crying shame.
That particular one, again, is one that I could have quite happily watched as a series episode or even a movie. You know,
my only issue with it was that the way they set it up, I thought the old man killed the young one.
Yes.
And it
which would have been fine.
Which would have been fine. In fact, I think I would have preferred it. And then went the story from there. Not that I thought that the kid was a bad kid or anything, or that he was a bad character. I was more concerned of, you know, if you're going to wound him, you got to make it look more like a wound. He looked like he Darth Mauled that guy right in half.
I did think that is what was going to happen. He was going to be stood there, and then that top half was just going to slide off.
Yeah, I did too. I thought, oh God, he just. But then he's alive. It's like, how is he alive?
But then also remember, Force Heal. So we've always got.
Well, I don't know. When did this take place? Did they know about Force Healing yet? I don't know.
So then this. The Elder was probably in my top three. And then one of the other ones that was in my top three was probably the next one, was Lop and Ocho. Ocho? Ocho?
Ocho? Ocho? Ocho Cinco?
Again, this was... I've had people on Twitter going on about how great it is that Rey chose her path, that she chose not to become a Palpatine, but become a Jedi and become a Skywalker and how it defines everything. This, I think, examined that much better in the fact that this young, I want to say, rabbit looking girl.
I was hoping they'd make her green. And a call back to Jackson from the original comics from 1977. Those of you who don't know about that, look up Marvel Comics Jackson, J-A-X-X-O-N. He's a big green jackrabbit.
But with it, again, they told a story about family and how, you know, the decisions that you make in that family not only affect you, but your parents and in this case, the entire planet. Because one of the girls decided to join with the Empire against her father's wishes. And because of it, it was going to cost them dearly.
Well, and I like the setup because you see them set up and you see this girl as being such a kind soul. Who wanted to bring this poor jackrabbit, you know, and that she wanted them to be a family and that she really, they clearly cared about each other. And clearly the daughter, the human daughter is more misguided than bad. She thinks that this is the best thing. And she's obviously been fed.
I suppose like there is that line that you were told a certain point of, you know, from things from a certain point of view. She was told things from a certain point of view of the Empire.
Yeah.
And so that is how she became to believe what she came to believe.
Yeah. And to the point of disfiguring her father, you know, taking his other eye and things like that. I mean, it's like, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. And one of the better ones in the series. I liked it a lot. It was a fun. I like the weird looking alien. I like the Empire looked bad as bad could be. That was probably the only thing. It's like when the commander or the general, whatever he was, he comes down. Like, he looks like death, like a vampire death.
I was gonna say he looked like a band member of a K-pop band group or something, you know.
Yeah, he just looked so he's got that grin on his face. He just looks like a demon from hell. And it's like, why does she think this guy looks evil? It's kind of like, I think it's the same thing that Red Letter Media had the complaints about the Emperor, when the Emperor's face is all mangled up, he's in the robes and everything. He's like, I had to kill all the Jedi because they tried to take over. Yeah. Look at my monster face. Wouldn't you trust this monster face? I felt like that with that commander. It's like, why are you trusting this monstrous looking guy? But and he's not like he's hiding it or he's being charming. He's just being evil.
Yeah,
that was the only thing that threw that for me. It's like, Because the rest of it, I think, was really good.
And but then, funny enough, conversely, sorry, just thinking along your lines, that because I said he looks like a K-pop boy band member, maybe that's maybe that's why she went for him. That, you know, to you he looks evil, but to him she's like, oh, he's such a hunk, you know.
They like the bad boys. They yeah, love exactly. the bad boys.
And so, again, you know, he could have fed her all this, whatever he wanted to make her believe whatever she, you know, to get him to turn on her own father. So maybe that was the case.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. There could be something to that. I don't think it was really telegraphed in the story very well. But
then, see, again, conversely, it was one of those stories where you could have followed that family, seeing the two girls growing up and fighting together and their father teaching them and maybe how he lost his eye and all that kind of stuff. There was so much there that finished. And you were like, no, I want to see a bit more of that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, thank you, DNF Dead, for dropping a like. We'll have a good stream. Yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing was well done for the most part. It's again, I would agree that every single one of these, no matter how weird I thought they got or whatever, had tighter, better storytelling than anything in the sequels.
Let's just talk about the last one, and then we'll get on to that, because we've got one more story to go, which is called Akakiri. Really showing our level of intelligence here. Akakiri. Now, that's awful.
YouTube has just shut down your stream for racism.
We're so sorry to Science Saru who did this one. Maybe next time, you know, just just give it an English name. Call it John.
You Japanese guys. Why don't you just call it Steve?
We'd be thinking, well, that's John, so it's obviously pronounced Juan. Anyway, so this one, I don't want to say was instantly forgettable, but I don't remember much about it. That he, Jedi turns up. I know he's getting. Oh, that's right. He lands on the planet, doesn't he? And these Ravagers or Raiders turn up, but then he has a vision, which means he gets knocked out, but then gets taken to this female who's trying to get back into the palace, and then it was her evil sister, was it?
Yeah,
she was a Sith.
It's an aunt.
Aunt.
A dark side wielding aunt, Masago, and so she has these two goofy guides, Senshu and Kamahachi, which are basically comic relief.
Well, they were basically what I immediately thought when I saw those two were. You've obviously heard of the Hidden Fortress.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, the two guys from the Hidden Fortress who were the sort of the main plot details of obviously R2-D2, not plot details, but the main sort of character basis for R2-D2 and C-3PO.
So the Jedi, Tsubaki, goes with the princess, Misa, to overthrow Masago. And when they get there, he accidentally kills Misa because she's dressed in their uniform, along with the others, which has their faces covered. So it's kind of the Joker thing where he dressed up the hostages as the bad guys with their guns taped. It was kind of like that. So he accidentally kills her thinking it's one of the bad guys. And then,
but then uses Force Heal. So this is obviously set after Rise of Skywalker.
They use Force Heal. And then once he got what he want, Force Heal, he immediately, joins the dark side?
Well, I got the impression that to save his love, wherever it was, I assumed it was his love because of the way they talked. I might have been wrong on that. But to save her, he got infused with the dark force or something, but then he gave himself up. He surrendered himself to the dark side just to save her.
I mean, can he... Okay, she's saved. Just kidding!
Because I mean that's kind of the story that Anakin took in Revenge of the Sith. Obviously, that he thought if he could give in to this dark side, he could save Padme from dying. But
here's a problem I've always had with Star Wars, and I feel like I don't understand, or I don't feel like it really does a good job of dealing with the idea of free will and choice.
Right.
You mentioned it earlier, I think, and it's Anakin chooses to go to the dark side, but it doesn't make sense why he chooses it and why he can't choose back. And then, you know, Vader obviously chose to go back. Are you like, is it a brainwashing? Is it a, you know, it doesn't, this whole idea is like you can make a bad choice and you can't go back, or that you talked about with Rey, and, you know, actually that's the one thing I think was kind of good in general, is that she makes a free will choice to not be a Palpatine, and that she's going to be a good person, calls herself a Skywalker because she does not want to make bad choices. And I always, that was the only thing that, and this is more of a thing that bothers me about Star Wars in general. It's like, you can't make any mistakes or else you're lost forever. You can't make a bad choice or you're lost forever. Is the Force that fragile? It's just those things that I go, I don't understand that part of it quite well enough. I don't agree with it, maybe.
I had a conversation an awfully long time ago with a younger lad, and we were talking about Star Wars, and I remember him saying to me, it was kind of like I wanted John Williams playing in the background, but he said, is the dark side more powerful? Now, I've always had the impression that the Force, if there's too much Force and it takes over, you lose control of it, and so you go to the dark side, and then you can't control that dark side, and so there is no way back because you are locked in this
absolute power corrupting absolutely kind of thing.
And with the Jedi, they use this Force to their own advantage, and but they don't give themselves fully over to it, and that's the impression I've always got from that.
If that's true, then why wouldn't the dark side be stronger? Unless Yoda's a big fat liar.
Yoda's telling it from his point of view.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I don't get going to the dark side when your goal is to save someone else. I feel like this guy...
That's kind of like the ultimate good, almost.
Yeah. Why would saving a person's life who got killed through no fault of your own be the path to the dark side? Why is Anakin wanting to save his wife's life a path to the dark side? And they talk about holding on to connections, you know, not letting go of attachments and things like that. Yeah, if your attachment is fucking money or things yeah. or cars or stuff, yeah, I get that. Power.
The girls down at the Toshi power station.
Yeah. I mean, if you're wanting to hold on to power, if that's what you want to hold on to for your own benefit, yeah, I can see that being a path to the dark side. But it's a path to the dark side to wanting to save your wife's life.
Although that
always bothered me.
In defense of that, I would say that I don't think the writing of the first three, the prequels, was particularly that well thought out.
No,
we've also got to remember he introduced midichlorians.
No, I agree. I understand what you're saying, but I guess that's the weak link of trying to write. You're trying to write Anakin as a good guy, like he was a good man who was corrupted by evil. But the way he got corrupted wasn't from...
It was more for the ultimate love than for an evil purpose.
Yeah, and I mean, if that's going to make you evil... I mean, sure, you could say, hey, what about the guys who can't let go of their girlfriends and they have to get restraining orders and things? I was like, well, that's not love, that's obsession, you know? Yeah. There's a difference. And I don't think Anakin was... I mean, there may have been some obsession in some of his things, and certainly there was some things you could say he didn't have good emotional control or a good way of understanding the big picture. And I know that there's, you know, the old saying that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, you know. I mean, we've got people now who are running around burning down, you know, black-owned businesses screaming Black Lives Matter. Like, why aren't you going to the goddamn, you know, Senate and you know, or the state houses or the city councils, you know? So, but I mean, again, I get, you know, we make bad decisions in the name of good, but the way they maybe that's just it. Maybe you're right. It's just the way they executed it. It just didn't come across very well to me.
It's funny because now you've said that, I've never really thought about it in that way. That, like you say, he was ultimately, you know, in love with somebody that he wanted to save the life of, and that's no reason to just turn him evil.
Yeah, and then I had the same problem with Akiri. I had the same issue, is that he didn't mean to kill her. He was tricked.
Yes.
That's what everybody gets tricked into the dark side. I'm like, going, okay. Is that how we're doing it? Okay.
I mean, you've seen the posters that say, come to the dark side, we've got cookies.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, cookies? Yeah. Yeah.
They had a white van and a bunch of candy. Next thing I know, I was had a red lightsaber. I don't know how it happens. Red lightsaber and a sore butt. Did I go too far?
But,
I
went
too
far. So, no. So, right. Before we go any further, obviously. So, overall then, I mean, how would you rate the whole series out of 5?
Out of 5, at least a 4.
See, to me,
at worst, a 4. You know, I mean, I'd even go as far as 4.5, just because there's nothing in here that's woke. There's nothing in here that's badly written. There are artistic choices that I may or may not just be my tastes.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that what they put together isn't good. It actually was very good in a lot of ways, and certainly entertaining. And so, I can't not give it a recommendation.
What got me about it is the fact that I finished watching them all, and I immediately thought to myself, I want to watch them again, and I just want to go through them again. And I know that I will watch these maybe half a dozen times each. Maybe not in the same order this time. Maybe I'll sort of stick with the favorite ones and so forth. Maybe I won't watch, you know, a couple of them. But there were ones I definitely wanted to watch again so that I could extrapolate more information out of it so that I could understand it better.
See, that would probably put me down to a 4 because I will probably watch it again, but I'm in no hurry.
I'm not saying I'm in a massive hurry, but what I'm saying is it's like with Rise of Skywalker. I think I've only seen that about 3 times, 4 times. And I can't bring myself to watch it anymore because it's just, it just makes no sense and I can't stand it. And so with these,
you've seen it 4 times? I've seen it twice. And the second time was for a video for this site.
I tried to sort of understand it in like the whole ending and everything else. And I still don't get it. But with these, what I'm saying is I'm not going to go and sit down and watch them all again, you know, over the next week or so, but like sort of like May 4th, quite happy to sit down and have a little binge watch of them again and sit down and enjoy them. And so from the fact that I'm quite happy to watch it again, it gives me that sort of maybe 4, 4.5 out of it, because there's something there that, just like I say, I'm just quite happy to enjoy again.
I would probably put in The Mandalorian first and maybe watch that before I'd watch this again. But I would probably watch this again at some point. It's not something I got to run out and see again, but it's good. I feel like I'm damning it with faint praise or something. It's not bad at all. I think this is more about how much you love anime and Star Wars versus whether or not this is objectively good or bad. I mean, objectively, I think it's good. I think, then after that, it's all about how much do you really love this kind of storytelling. And that's where I go,
It's one of those scenarios though where I've always said that if the story works, I didn't really see them as animations as such. And a classic example of that for me is Mary and Max, about the young girl who writes to a guy with autism in New York. And it's the animation is really weird, and the way it's done is really weird, and none of the characters are particularly real or anything else. but I have never cried so much at the end of a movie because it's such a moving story. It was all based on a true story, and it's absolutely, it's incredible. And so I don't see the animation and the bad way that they're done. It's just a well-told story. And for me, that's what these were. These were just, you know, the some of them, I didn't even remember the styles of the animation because I just enjoyed these fantastic stories, which I wanted expanded and to see more of.
Well, I think it depends. I mean, like, if you look at one like The Elder or The Ninth Jedi, those are more grounded in their animation, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas something like The Twins or Tubi,
yes.
T-O-B-1 or even Tatooine. Like The Duel is stylistic, but it's still more grounded. So I think I don't think you could really separate out the animation style from just the story. While the story may be good, you know, it's all a part of that. And the and the weird animation style is something that you can't just put aside. It's fine. It's good. It does the job. But
like you say, I suppose it can sort of just take that edge off if it is a style that you're not familiar with or happy with, or
if the same story was told in a more realistic or a different way, would I like it more? Maybe. I don't think you could tell The Twins in a more realistic way, because not in
the direction it went.
No, I don't think that's, I mean, maybe you could, but I'll give it credit. I may have thought it was weird, but I did remember it.
Yeah. And that's ultimately sort of kind of what it's about with any kind of art form. It's getting discussion going, isn't it? And, you know, in different reactions at different people and stuff. It was certainly interesting. And I do like the fact that basically Disney let somebody just have creative control, different creative control. I think that was, ultimately, that is the thing that ultimately worked for me the best. Is that I don't think Disney were there sort of going, oh, we need to do this and we need to do that. And like you say, that elder, oh, we can't have a little Japanese guy with slanty eyes. That's going to be really, really bad or anything. They just let them get on with it. And because of it, they just produced 9 interesting stories.
Yeah, certainly worth a look.
Definitely. So,
I think, does that wrap it up?
Yes, I think so.
All right. Well, thank you very much for watching, everybody. We are, of course, lastmovieoutpost.com. You can find us at www.lastmovieoutpost.com and reach us on Twitter at Movie Outpost. Myself, I'm at DrunkenYoda1. And you, George, what's your Twitter?
Not George Lucas1.
And then, of course, you can email us at contactus@lastmovieoutpost.com. We really appreciate you taking the time to watch. We're sorry about the whole Facebook title thing. We'll keep working on that and seeing why that keeps happening. Or I'll just have to be on top of it when I first started it up and just change the title immediately. But it's really weird why it does that. So, maybe open up a ticket with Streamlabs, try to figure this out. So, otherwise, this has been great. I've had a good time. I hope you've had a good time.
Yes, if we're talking about movies, I'm always a happy bunny.
Yep, me too. And remember, you guys, if you get on the chats or if you do super chats, we'll always read those on the air. We're going to try to do this every Sunday at noon Central Time, 6 p.m. UK time, and you can extrapolate out your time zone from there.
And also, I'm just going to plug as well, I'm also trying to do a podcast every either Wednesday or Thursday. But again, you can check the site for that. All I do is just basically talk about the movies I've seen that week.
Yep. And of course, this particular show will also get uploaded audio only to podcasts. You can find it on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you search for your particular podcast. We'll show up there under Outpost Frequencies or lastmovieoutpost.com. So, good show, sir. I will see you next week. We'll have to come up with another topic, but I'm sure we'll figure out something.
Indeed. Thanks again, mate.
Thank you, and take care, everyone, and we will see you on the next stream.